Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the Mishnah that you will find on the upper part of Daf Nun Zayin, two lines before the Gemara lines get wide. Before we learn the Mishnah itself, let us glance at the outside margin where you see a Nosei heading in our Gemara markings Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen. We offer topic headings and structural notes from time to time. In this case, we have as our Nosei the topic heading, and we have an indication that it goes ad omid beis. In other words, the topic at hand will be keeping us preoccupied till we get to the next omid of Gemara. And we've written Dvorim hapoislim b'maiser behema, the einon nichnosim ledir l'hisaser. There are certain elements or aspects that may be present in an animal that will render it unfit for the mitzvah of Maiser Behema. Whereas as a result of the animal having any one of a number of different characteristics that will be delineated by the Gemara, the animal will not even enter the corral for the counting purpose. Now the Mishnah. Hakol nichnosim ledir l'saser. All of the animals enter the barn for counting purposes. Chutz min hakilayim, utrefa, v'yotzei dofen, u'mechusar zman, v'hayosam. So the Mishnah lists off five different situations where an animal is not qualified to even go through the counting, which would lead up to the number 10 animal, which would then be sanctified as a Maiser Behema. They are the Kilayim. This is the result of mixed breeding two animals. For example, one who mates a sheep and goat. That offspring will not be subject to counting. Trefa, an animal with a type of organ deficiency or other type of limb deficiency, which renders it a trefa. The Yotzei Dofen, a cesarean birth animal. U'mechusar Zman, an animal which, as a result of a time factor, is not able to be slaughtered. For example, an animal before it's 8 days old is called Mechusar Zman. Or an animal whose mother or offspring were shechted on that day. Here we're dealing with Maiser Behema with a fairly young animal in the first place, but Mechusar Zman there's a time factor which is critical, so that if let us say you had slaughtered the mother of that animal that day, so the this offspring would not be eligible for slaughter. As a result, it's not eligible for entering the corral. The Hayosom. The Mishnah goes on, say, Ve'ezehu Yosom. What is Yosom? Yosom literally is an orphan. But what does the term Yosom mean in the context of Maiser Behema? Answer, Kol Shemesa Imo, O Shenishchata, V'acher Kach Yolda. Any situation where the mother, let us say, died in childbirth, so that the mother died, as the Mishnah says, and then it gave birth. So it would have had to die in childbirth, or it was slaughtered, and then the Vlad was removed, or it was while it was being slaughtered, it gave birth. But either one of these cases would be considered Yosom. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Afilu Nishchata Imo V'Hashelach Kayom, Ein Zeh Yosom. Rabbi Yeshua says that even if the mother had been shechted, and then you have this birth that takes place. As long as the mother's shelach is the skin is around, that it's not considered a yosam. So as long as the mother's body or skin is around, it's the offspring that remains is not a yosam and would be qualified for ma'aser behema. We will see a little more about this idea of the skin being left when we get to the Gemara, as the Gemara continues later. Mino hani mili detonu rabbanan. What is the source by way of psukim for that which the Mishnah taught? So we have a Tanaic source quoting a pasuk in fragments from other korbanos, other sacrifices. If you skim ahead in this Tanaic source, you'll see different phrases in quotation marks. They are the different parts of a pasuk, and which reads shor o kesev. O'ez, ki voleid, vahoyo shivas yomim tachas imoi. Those are the words of the pasuk itself, and now we break them down. Shor o kesev, the pasuk referring to what is qualified to be brought as a sacrifice, a general sacrifice. It says prat bikilayim, to the exclusion of a mixed bread animal. So the words shor o kesev indicate it must be pure bread, not mixed bread. O'ez, prat linidmet. Nidme is a situation where both parents are of one variety, and there's a freakish-looking offspring. It looks like another variety animal. Even though both parents, there's no mixed breeding, just the offspring looks, if you have two goats that mated and produced an offspring, it looks like a sheep, that would be called a nidme. Ki ivoleid, that when it gives birth. So prat liyotze doifen, to the exclusion of a C-section birth. The hoyo shivas yomim, the animal, in order to qualify as a sacrifice, it has to be with its mother for 7 days, and on the eighth day, that's the first time you could bring it as a sacrifice. So prat lemechuser zman, shivas yomim, is coming to tell us that something that's lacking in time is unqualified as a sacrifice, as a standard sacrifice. Tachas imoy prat liyosom means with its mother, to the exclusion of the yosom, which that situation we saw described in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel benoy shel Rabbi Yochanan Broka Oimer, Nemar kan tachas hashevet. It says here by Meiser Behema that the animal must pass under a rod, counting rod, for counting. V'nemar lahalon, by other sacrifices, it says tachas ima. We saw that expression just a couple lines up. Ma lahalon prat l'chol hashemos halalu. What we're working with right now is a word comparison. The word tachas you find in both contexts, ma'aser behema and in other sacrifices. So just like in other sacrifices, we saw a list of things that are excluded. Afkan prat l'chol hashemos halalu. So too, by ma'aser behema, we will exclude all of those examples as well. Uma kan, by Meiser Behema, we find here prat l'treifa, af lahalon prat l'treifa. Just like by Meiser Behema, tachas hashevet is an expression that tells us that a treifa would not be qualified. And it's explained that the posuk says it has to walk under the counting rod for establishing what eventually will become the number 10 animal. So an animal whose leg, let's say whose hind leg is cut off, is not capable of walking tachas hashevet. And it just so happens that an animal missing its hind leg is an example of a trefa. So the pasuk is expecting the animal to be capable of walking, and that thereby would exclude a trefa. So we understand by Meiser Behema a trefa, even though the pasuk is citing one example of trefa, but that's enough to set a precedent for all things, all behemoths, all animals that are called a trefa are not acceptable for Meiser Behema. So, two, af lahalon prat l'trefa, so in the same sense, we exclude a trefa by other sacrifices as well. You'll notice that there's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you compare this, you skim up a bit, you'll find another arrow. It points to a line, the Mishnah itself, where the word hakol appeared, that said hakol nichnas l'dir. The word hakol is an inclusive expression, and the Gemara here asks hakol asuye mai. This inclusive expression, what is being included as those things that will be subject to meiser behema. The Mishnah itself listed things that are excluded, but what is being included by this expression? So the Gemara answers, La Suyeha de Tan Rabbanan. It includes that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. And there's a long list of animals, or situations of animals, that are included. Horovea vanirba, Vahamukse vanervad, Vesnan, Vahamachir, Vetumtum vandroginus. You'll notice maybe in the way we're reading these as pairs. Later in the Gemara, you'll see how they are viewed as pairs in a certain sense. The first two, Haroveah and Nirba, have to do with bestiality, where an animal is proactive or is passive in that reprehensible act. Hamukse vanevad, mukse is an animal that was set aside to be offered as a sacrifice to an idol, and nevad is an animal that itself was worshipped. For esnan vamechir, esnan is an animal given to a harlot in payment for her services, and mechir is a case where an animal was exchanged for a dog. Why we are grouping them together? In fact, the pasuk compares the two. The tumtum vadrungus are two types of situations where there's a question regarding its gender. Tumtum is where the organs of gender are covered over, and with a skin growth that covers them. And androgynous is an animal that is in English referred to as androgynous. It has both gender signs. All of these situations are kulin michnosin l'dir l'saser. They are all acceptable with regard to being counted toward the meiser behema situation. Now, it's just we should mention parenthetically, if one of these problematic animals comes out as number 10, in general, the number 10 animal is brought as a sacrifice. These type of animals are not acceptable as sacrifices. So under such circumstances, you'll leave this animal aside till it develops a blemish, at which time you could then slaughter it and eat it on its own. But it does go into the barn for counting purposes. Continuing in the Tanaic source of Shimon Yudah Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Tumtum Vandroginus Ein Nichnosin L'dir L'Saser. The Rav Shimon Ben Yudah, quoting Rabbi Shimon, disagrees regarding two of these in this list of eight items. The last two are disqualified. Now there's a that's as far as the two the Tanakama and Rav Shimon in this particular source. The now our Mishnah, we want to know what our Mishnah's viewpoint is. The Tana Didon, I Gomar Tachas Tachas Mikotchim. Our Tana, which we just said, based on the word Hakol, is represented by the Tanakama of this Brisa, who's willing to include eight problematic animals. And we pointed out that as a regular sacrifice, these things would not be acceptable. So we want to know, where is he coming from, so to speak? I gomar tachas tachas, if our Mishnah learns the tachas tachas comparison, mikotchim, from other sacrifices, which we alluded to before, this tachas tachas word comparison. So, hani nami lo, then all of these, the rovea, nearby, etc., should not be acceptable to enter the deer for counting. They're all excluded in the realm of other sacrifices. The ilo yolif, and if he doesn't have this word comparison at all, then hani minole. Hani is a reference to the kilayim and nidme that we refer to in the first Tanaic source that the Gemara opened up with. So how would the case, actually, we should see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kilayim Trefal Yotzadofen Mechusar Zman V'yosom. How would the Tana know that those are not acceptable? After all, we saw in the Tanaic source that the Gemara quoted at the opening of the Gemara that those things that the Mishnah excludes are learned from other sacrifices through the Tachas Tachas comparison. So the Gemara answers, Le'olam Gomir. Our Mishnah does learn this comparison. V'hani rachmona rovinhu. However, these, the roveya nearby, etc., there's another gzeres hakosav, another expounding of a posuk that enables them to be included. So, just to, before we go on in the full response of the Gemara, the basic outline is our Mishnah that excludes Kilayim, Trefia, Tzedoifin, Mechusuzman, and Yosom. And by the way, Nidme, Tosfos points out at the top in the Dibra Masach Chutzmin HaKilayim, could have also been mentioned along with the others, Nidme being simply similar in a sense to the Kilayim example that the Mishnah did cite. So all of those that the Mishnah excluded were in fact learned from other sacrifices. Just like other sacrifices, those things would not be acceptable, so too by Meister Behema. Now, what about Roveya Nirba, Muktzenevad, etc., that are not acceptable by other sacrifices and yet do enter the deer for counting? That is a result of a special Gzeres HaKosav. And if you notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, before we go any further, we have a Tuf that's encircled that represents a teretz, an answer, and we've also and it has a long vertical dashed line indicating that this is a long answer. All of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the answer. And what we're answering now is that Roveya, nearby, etc., are Ravinu. They're included in the realm of Meiser Behema. Dichtiv. We continue in the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Ki Moshchosam Bohem Mum Bom Lo Yerotsu Lochem. That's a pasuk, and the pasuk in and of itself, we will wait for the Gemara to explain its purpose. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they have the following Tanaic source. Kol Mokom Shinemar Boi Hashchosa, in this pasuk we saw the word Moshchosam. Wherever you see the word Hashchosa, Eino Elo Devar Ervo Vavoyda Zara. The word Hashchosa is a reference to immorality and idolatry. Devar erva, immorality. Dechtiv ki hishchis kol basor es dar kol oretz. You see in this pasuk the word hishchis. We've dashed underline it, which is a reference to immorality. So I know in the way you see a word of that nature, hashchosa, it's a reference to immorality. Avodah Zarah dichtiv, in the case of idolatry, you have a pasuk that says, Pen tashchisun vasisim lochem pesel tmunas kosem el tavne zohar oy nekeva, which is a pasuk that talks about the making of idols. And in that pasuk, also you see the word tashchisun. Now, what's the significance of having these two topics aligned? The Gemara goes on, V'chol shamum posel bo, any realm in which blemishes render something unfit. This is a reference to the pasuk that we saw five lines ago, Ki moshchosam bohem mum bom. In that pasuk you see the word mum. So, wherever mum affects something, Devar erva v'yidah zora, poislin bo. So too, immorality and idolatry will render it unfit. V'chol she'ein hamum posel bo, and any situation where a mum does not render the item unfit, ein devar erva v'yidah zora, poislin bo. Likewise, immorality and idolatry won't render the animal unfit. V'hai meiser hoyol v'loi posel be'muma, and in the realm of meiser behema, a blemish does not disqualify it from being part of a counting. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Lo yavakir bein toiv lo ra v'lo yemirenu. You shall not make distinctions between the good and the bad. And the bad is a reference to a mum, a blemished animal. So, devar erva v'aveda zora nami lo posil bei. As a result of the mum being a non-issue with regard to meiser behema, so too, immorality and idolatry also are non-issues. And now the Gemara reviews the list of 8 items that we saw before as being included with regard to meiser behema as opposed to other sacrifices, and shows you how the 8 of them fit into one of these 2 categories, either devar erva or avodah zarah. Rovei Avenirba, and if you remember, we said before that the list of included things the list of 8 items appear in sets of 2s. So here you see the Gemara doing that. Rovei Avenirba, which was 2 situations of bestiality, that's under the heading Devar Erva. Muksa Venevad, which are 2 examples of idolatry related things, they fall under the heading of Avodah Zorah. The Esnan, that fits under the heading of Devar Erva, the gift given to a harlot for services of immorality, of illicit relations. So it's under that heading. Umechir, the animal that was exchanged for a dog, Iskish le'esnan. The pasuk that talks about the prohibition of esnan as a sacrifice speaks also about the prohibition of a mechir kelev as a sacrifice. So they're compared to one another. And therefore, since we're talking about a realm where mum doesn't render it unfit, so too, devar erva and things compared to it are not unfit. Tumtum vandraginus, our Mishnah was willing to include them under the heading of hakol. They are included. Kosovar sveikahu, he is of the opinion that they are either a male or a female. In other words, a sofek being either a male or a female, but whether it's a male or a female, either way, it's something that would be subject to meiser behema. So they're part of the counting. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer v'chule, he said that tumtum adrogas don't enter the deer for counting. Kosovar berio hu umiet rachmona gabi kochim zohar vale unekeva vadoyes velo tumtum vandroginis. Reb Shimon is of the opinion that an androgynous and tumtum are a separate tree, gender-wise, namely berio b'fnasma, a separate entity, not male nor female. It's a third category called a creature unto itself. And in the realm of sacrifices, the Torah speaks about a zohar or nekeva, and that is a reference to something that's definitely a zohar, or definitely an ekeva, not tumtum vandroginus. Meiser, and that's as far as kochim are concerned. Meiser nami gomar tachas mikochim. And we know that we compare kochim to meiser behema through the tachas word comparison. And as a result of tumtum vandroginus being excluded by other sacrifices, so too, and it should be pointed out that with regard to gender, so that is compared to other sacrifices. But as far as issues of idolatry and immorality, that we saw, even Rav Shimon Yehuda will agree that we have a special Zeres HaKosov of Kimosh Chosabem Mum Bom, which will set Meiser apart from the rest. But that's Meiser behema set apart from the rest of the realm of sacrifices only with regard to issues of immorality and idolatry. But tumtum vandroginus, well, that all depends. If it's a beria bifnei atzma, so it will be excluded for a different reason. If you hold it to suffek zohar nekeva, so there's no reason to exclude it. Tanu rabbanan. We have a new Tanaic source, as you can see, a new framed section. Hakol nichnosim ledir l'saser. Everything enters the barn for counting. Chutz min hakilayim v'hatreifa. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Kfar Bartusa, Sha'amar Mishum, Rabbi Yeshua. There are a lot of names here, but this source is saying that only two things are excluded from entering the barn for counting purposes. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Ani Shomati Hemenu, I heard from him, Af Yoytze Doifen Umuchusur Zman V'yosayim. An additional three things also enter the barn for counting. So if you looking at Rabbi Akiva's approach, you will have excluded Kilayim Trefa, and likewise excluded Yotze Doifen, Mechusur Zman, and Yosom, which in fact is just like our Mishnah. But what the Gemara is interested in right now is what is the opinion, what is the background to the opinion of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama was much more limited in his what's excluded. He excluded only Kilayim and Trefa. So the Gemara asks, V'Tanakhama, Igomar Tachas Tachas Mikotchim Hani Nami Loi. If you learn the word comparison that we saw above, so the others as well, not just Kilayim and Trefa, but Yotzedoif and Mechuzer Zman Yosem should also be excluded from the counting. V'i lo gomar, and if you don't have the word comparison, well, where do you come to your conclusion? So Bishlamo Trefa, I understand the second thing that you excluded, I understand why that's excluded. Kol asher yavur tachas hashevet ksiv. It says that what is counted? Anything that's capable of walking under the counting rod. Prat the trefa she'ein overs, to the exclusion of a trefa. An example of trefa in this case would be its hind leg is cut off. That is not capable of overs, of walking under the counting rod, so it's not counted. Ela kilayim minole. Where does the Tanakhama, the first opinion in this last source, where does he learn the exclusion of kilayim if he's not learning the tachas tachas comparison to other sacrifices? Le'olam gomar. The Gemara answers he does learn this comparison between Maaser Behem and other sacrifices. And if that's the case, then we have to now focus on three things that the Tanakhama doesn't exclude. In other words, the things that Rabbi Akiva mentioned, the Yitzadoifin, Mechusur Zman, and Yosom, which are in fact unfit by other sacrifices, they're not acceptable to be brought as a sacrifice, why do they enter for counting purposes? If you hold that we are to compare these two realms, sacrifices and Maaser Behema. So what we've done with our markings, we're using triangles, and under our Mivneh heading, you can see on the outside margin, Mivneh is a structure. The triangle is featured, and we've written, Hadgoshas Hashloish Dvorim Shehatanakhama Machshiv Rabbi Akiva Posel B'Maaser Behema. We're going to now focus on those three things that the Tanakhama, unlike Rabbi Akiva, includes, the Tanakhama includes with regard to Maaser Behema, and here we go. Ubeyotze Doifen, Sovar, we're at the top of Omid Beis, Sovar Law, Kerebi Shimon. Regarding Yotze Doifen, our Tanakhama of this brief source, which was, he had a long name, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Kfar Bartusa, that said the name of Rabbi Yeshua, he holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Omar, Yotze Doifen, Vlad Ma'al Yehu, Udalo, Karebi Yochanan. There is an opinion that a C-section, that is a C-section birth, is considered a full-fledged birth, a regular birth. And unlike Rabbi Yochanan, whose opinion of Rabbi Shimon says that Rabbi Shimon would concede in the realm of sacrifices that it's not holy, we're at this point not accepting Rabbi Yochanan's approach, and saying that the Tanakhama will hold like Rabbi Shimon, who looks at Yotze Doifen, just like in other areas, as a regular birth, so too with regard to sacrifices. And hence, there is no need to, even though I do compare Maaser Behema to sacrifices, Rabbi Shimon will say that Yotze Doifen is an acceptable type sacrifice, so it will be acceptable for the counting. B'mechusar zman, sovar lo, k'Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, regarding something that's lacking in terms of time, the Tanakhama of this source at the bottom of Amud Aleph will hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who says that a mechusar zman is enters the deer for counting. There is an opinion that compares Maiser Behema to a Bechor. And in the case of a Bechor, as soon as the animal is born, it's sanctified, even though it's not brought as a Bechor sacrifice until 8 days go by. Same thing with the Maiser Behema. It can be counted, and if it turns out to be number 10, it will be sanctified. It won't be brought till 8 days go by. 8 days since its birth. Yosoim, the Tanakama of the brief source in Omid Aleph, who said Yosom is included in the counting. Kagon Shashelach Kayim Rabbi Yeshua LeTameh. Don't forget, the Tanakama there was quoting Rabbi Yeshua. He said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So this represents Rabbi Yeshua is as a consistent comment, as he says elsewhere. In fact, in our Mishnah, we saw that he made reference to the following. Kagon shashelach kayam, namely the skin of the mother is around. And this is Rabbi Yeshua L'tameh, Yomar filu shochad esimo vashelach kayam ein ze yosem. This is the comment that he made in the Mishnah. That even if it's the mother has been slaughtered and the offspring was born, as long as the mother's skin is around, the offspring is not called a yosoim. At this point, we see with our markings, we have what we're calling a long point. It's because we have four points of testimony, if you will, or references that Rabbi Shmuel ben Sasrio makes in our Gemara. Now, they're not related, and it is very likely that most of the comments that he makes, with the possible exception of the first one, are references to things of a much deeper, hidden nature. So, being that that's the case, we'll at best be able to translate the Gemara, but leaving the deeper meaning of some of the things we're about to see for your further research and investigation. We also have at the side of our Gemara, there are no say heading, Arba Mikrim, four situations, Shalem Heid Rabbi Shmuel Ben Sasriel. The first is what's related to our Gemara, and that's probably the reason that this whole comment is brought in. As the Gemara often does, it brings in points that have several aspects to them because only one is really related. Heid Rabbi Yishmael ben Sasriel me Arkas Levena. This is a name of a place, Arkas Levena. So Rabbi Yishmael from that place, he was Meid. He testified Lifnei Rebbe. He announced or testified in front of Rebbe. Number one, Bimekomenu Mavshitin es Hamesa Umalvishin es Hachai. We've double underlined the expression Bimekomenu, which you find in three of the four points that he is about to talk about. In our Bimekomenu means in our place, Mafshitin es Hamesa, that we would skin the mother, the mother animal after she's dead, Umalbishin es Hachai, and we then wrap the newborn in its mother's skin. Rashi elaborates on this. You'll notice the Rashi in the about the fourth, fifth narrow line. B'mekomenu kishabemo hameso machmas leida, when an animal dies as a result of childbirth. Mafshitin or ha'im shehi meso, we then skin the mother that is now dead. Umalbishin oisoi lavlad shehu chai, and wrap it around the newborn that is alive, umiskayim ibnei dover zeh she'oisin lo, and this enables the newborn to continue living. So as a result of its benefiting from the warmth of its mother's skin, it continues living. So with that in mind, we understand it's in a figure of speech, the mother is still alive, so that this is the reason that Rabbi Yeshua will not call it a mesa, a yosom. The offspring is not a yosom. Omar Rebbe, the Gemara continues, Nisgale taimo shel mishnosenu. With this, we now have revealed the reason for that which appears in our Mishnah, for that which Rabbi Yeshua said, that if the mother is dead but the skin is still around, so the offspring is not called a yosam. Chazeres Shebe Mekomenu, the second point. Now, this is not related, other than it's another comment, another Heid Rabbi Shmuel example. Chazeres is a type of vegetable. From what you see in the Meforshim, it appears to be something of a, like a lettuce. It's a very leafy vegetable. So he says, the Chazeres Shebe Mekomenu, Yesh Lohem Shishim Riboy Klofim Bebeis Hemsis Shaloi. That's a reference to the small leaves, if one is familiar with the lettuce vegetable. The inner part of the lettuce vegetable has very small leaves. So this chazeres in our place has 60 times 10,000. Shishim ribo. Ribo is 10,000. 600,000 small leaves located on at the inner part of the vegetable. Pam achas, a third point. Pam achas nofal erez echod shebe mekomenu. There was a tree, an erez tree that fell in our location. The ovru sheish esrei kronos al chudo. There fit across the width of this tree 16 carts. That's a very wide type tree, probably wider than a California redwood. Pam achas nofla, a fourth point. Pam achas nofla beitzes bar yuchni. Once the egg of a bar yuchni is a type of large bird, this egg fell. V'tova shishim krochim, and as a result of its contents, the yolk and the albumen of the egg, so liquidy content, 60 cities were drowned. V'shavra shlosh meos arozim, and it broke 300 erez trees. Of course, we're giving you only a literal translation. It seems to be more than obvious that this is a reference to something much deeper in nature. The Gemara now asks a technical question on how can you say that the bar yuchni would have dropped its egg? Umi shadio le, does it throw off its egg? V'hoksiv, knaf renonim ne'alosa. Now, you see there's a base that we've highlighted. That's a reference to the Shita Mekubetzis, which adds a couple words. The word ne'alosa is understood as a contraction for nose ole v'nischate. That means the bird has very wide wings, and it lifts its egg, the egg that it lays, it lifts it up, flies up with it, v'nischate, and it places it down in a safe location, in a nest or wherever, a safe location. So the pasuk describes the bird as not something that would drop its egg. Omar Rav Ashi, hahu muzrosa havoi. The egg described in the Edus, where he said once the bar yuchni dropped its egg, is an egg that was not fertilized. So it's called a beitza muzora. It wasn't fit for chick development, and therefore it threw it down. If one has an imagination, one would almost see that something that's described here is something like an atom bomb, where you have this wing thing lifting up this very destructive device, this egg that's capable of drowning 60 cities, and you wonder what's really being referred to over here. But that's a very side comment, just to trigger one's imagination. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading. And in this Mishnah, we will feature Machlokas Tanoim, Mahim Hazmanim Shel Sholosh Hagronois Shel Maiser Behema. The Mishnah makes a reference to three seasons, three times on the calendar that one would tithe his animals. Animals born between these different three time periods. Just by way of general background. There is a concept of chodosh and yoshen, which we've learned about in previous sugyas when it comes to meiser behema, which basically means births of last year and births of this year do not join up for the count for counting purposes. That would mean that if a person had five births of animals before the Rosh Hashanah of Ma'aser Behemah, which, by the way, is a Machlokes Tanoim in and of itself, is the first year, the beginning of a Ma'aser Behemah year, the Elul, Aleph Elul, or is it Aleph Tishrei, the date that we celebrate the common Rosh Hashanah. So that itself is a controversy, but there's something called Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behemah. So animals born before that Rosh Hashanah period are considered Yashan vis-a-vis animals born after the Rosh Hashanah date. They are called Chodesh and Yashan, and they don't join up. Therefore, if a person had some total of 10 animals, 5 born before Rosh Hashanah and 5 born after Rosh Hashanah, he is exempt from Ma'aser Behemah. However, there is a rabbinic institution that the Mishnah refers to as Shalosh Gronos, 3 Gronos literally are granaries, but it's, and we'll see later, the Gemara makes reference, why is this word being used, but for in the context of Ma'aser Behemah, it would be 3 seasons or 3 dates during which people would practice Ma'aser Behemah, would tie their animals. And as opposed to the din of last year, this year, meaning like before Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, we say the animals don't join up. With regard to Gronos, these sub-year time periods, things born before the Goren and things born after the Goren would join up. So that the division, the time division referred to as Gronos is not the same as the time division represented by a year, the beginning before the new year and after the new year. What are these time periods? So the Mishnah will enumerate them. And the second point that we've listed under our No Say heading, we actually made reference to already, but we have written, Machlokes Tanoim, Mahu Rosh Hashanah L'Ma'aser Behemah. What is considered the new year for Rosh Hashanah? Nafkamina L'Gabi Ha De'ein Mafrishin Me HaChodesh Al HaYoshen. The practical knowledge gained from that point is that you don't join together animals that are born before the new year and after the new year. So it'll be important for us to know what's the date that represents the new year for Ma'aser Behemah. Now we go into the Mishnah itself. Shalosh Gronos L'Ma'aser Behemah. Befras HaPesach U'Befras HaAtzeres. Atzeres is Shavuos and Befras Chag. Chag is Sukkos. Let's glance at the Rashi, where he says a lot of the information that we already spoke out, but it's good to see it inside. Rashi, Shalosh Gronos L'Ma'aser Behemah, Klomar, B'Shlosha Prokim B'Shana, this is to say that 3 times during the year have a Zman Ma'aser Behemah, is the time for tithing. Shabahemos Sheyuldu Lo, Bain Perek L'Perek, animals born between the dates that we're about to learn, Tzorech Loi La'aser K'Shegia Perek, when the particular time period comes, when the date comes, he then has to tithe his animals that were born during this new time period. The Meshigia HaPerek Lo Yochal Mehem L'Chadchila, that when the new time period, this is one of the 3 times that appear, that comes during the year, if that time period goes by, he shouldn't eat from any of the animals that were born up till that time period. And that's midrabanan. He shouldn't eat from them below Ma'aser until he tithes them. Avol kodem l'chein, let us say he has animals that were born before the date of this particular time period arrives. If the date of the new goren hasn't come about yet, he is allowed to slaughter them, whatever he wants, and eat. The mitzvah bi'al mohu la'aser be'moisov. The halacha of tithing one's animals is an expectation. Do asiri kodesh me'achish karl of shame. It becomes an animal becomes holy once he proclaims it as such. Avol hirshus biyado le'ochlo b'lo ma'aser. But if it hasn't been declared as a number 10, So he can eat from the animals. Just so that with regard to these three time periods, the rabbis intervened and said, you shouldn't eat from them without tithing. The Gemara itself will explain what's the significance of these three dates and why do we use the loshon, this expression of gronos, when we're talking about animals and not grains. So far, we've listed these three time periods. We haven't explained the word pras. That, too, the Gemara deals with. These three time periods, prasa Pesach, prasa Tzeres, and prasa Chag, the Mishnah says, are divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is according to Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, who is a second opinion, Omer, the Esrim V'tisha B'Ador, the 29th day of Ador, the Echod B'Sivan, the first day of the month of Sivan, Be'esrim v'tisha ba'av, on the 29th day of Av. So that animals born between between these two dates, any one of these dates, should not eat or slaughter any of the births that took place before he tithes. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, be'echod b'nisan, the first of Nisan is a goren, be'echod b'sivan, the first day of Sivan, and that with regard to that date, you see that he agrees with Ben Azai that constitutes one of the grunos. The Chof Tes Be'elul, the 29th day of Elul, which is different than we saw in under Ben Azai, the 29th day of Av. V'lomo Omru Be'esrim V'tisha Be'elul V'lo Omru Be'echod B'tishrei. Why does he choose the 29th day of Elul and not say the first of Tishrei? Mipnei Shu Yom Tov, the first of Tishrei is a Yom Tov, which is commonly known as Rosh Hashanah for us when we blow the shofar. The Yev Shel Aser B'Yom Tov, and it's not possible to do the tithing of Meiser Behema on Yom Tov. And an explanation that is given for that is that when you're tithing the animal, you paint it red, the tenth animal, and you cannot paint on a holiday. Lefikach hikdimu be'esrim v'tisha be'elul. Therefore, it was pushed back one day to the 29th of Elul. Rabbi Meir Omer. This marking emphasizes Rabbi Meir and Ben Azai as they have an argument in the context of Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema. Rabbi Meir Omer, Be'echod Be'elul equals Rosh Hashanah LeMeiser Behema. The first of Elul is a clear point of demarcation with regard to the year as Meiser Behema is concerned. So the first of Elul is the beginning of the new year. So all births that take place from Echod Be'elul onwards are part of the new year. Any births that took place before that Echod Be'elul are considered from the previous year. Ben Azai Omer Ho Elulim Misasrin Bifnei Atzmon. Ben Azai says that all Elul births are treated as on they're treated separately, so that those that were born in the month of Elul won't join up with those that were born in Tishrei, nor those that were born in Av. The Gemara will expound on Ben Azai why he holds this, and Rashi already reveals that he has a suffix whether the halacha is like Rebbe Meir, whom we saw already, that the first of Elul is a Rosh Hashanah, or the halacha is like Rebbe Shimon, whom we saw a reference to him above, that holds that the first of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah. So, since he's not sure whether it's the first of Elul or the first of Tishrei, so when you're in the month of Elul, are you at the beginning of a new year or at the end of an old year? He's not sure. So he treats Elul as a separate unit. The Mishnah continues, Kol hanolodim me'echod b'tishrei ad esrim b'tisha be'elul, harei elu mitzdarfin. This part of the Mishnah is in accordance with not Rebbe Meir, but in accordance with Rebbe Shimon that we saw above. And Rashi makes this point. This works out according to Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon that said the first of Tishrei is the new year. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Anything born after the first of Tishrei, or from the first of Tishrei till the 29th of Elul, they are mitzaref. They join together. Notice, of course, that there's no that the Grunos time periods don't interfere with the joining possibility, and we mentioned that earlier. Chamisha lifnei hagoren, and here the Mishnah itself makes that point. Chamisha lifnei hagoren, chamisha lachar hagoren, harei elu mitzarfin. If five animals were born before the Goren date, and we saw a number of different opinions of what are the Goren dates, but if five animals are born before a Goren date, and five animals born after that date, they would mitzarif to a group of 10 that you would then count and treat the 10th animal as Meiser Behema. So they join together. Of course, provided that you're not talking about a Goren date that just so happens to be the end of the year. Im Kain, Lama Omru Shalosh Gronos L'Meiser Behema. So what significance are these Goren dates if you're telling me that births that took place before and births that took place after join up? So the Mishnah answers, She'ad shlo higia ha-goren muter limkor v'lishchot. Until that Goren date arrives, it is muter for a person to sell the newborn and to slaughter the newborn animals and eat them. Higia ha-goren, when the Goren date arrives, lo yishchot. If he then is rabbinically instructed, don't shecht until you tithe them. The im shochad potter, but if a person went ahead anyway, and when a Goren date passed, and he did slaughter without tithing, he's exempt. He's not subject to any type of punishment. My shno tlas. What's the significance of these three dates? The Gemara answers, why? In other words, we said there are three grunos. What's the significance of having three grunos? Omar Rabba Bar Shilo, Likbal, in Hebrew we say keneged, like in honor of Churfi, V'afli, V'kaiti. Churfi is a reference to early births. Afli is a reference to later births. And Kaiti is a reference to summer births. If we look in the Rashi, Likbal Churfi Vafli Vakaiti, Shiesh Behemos Shemav Kirois Leleid Kodem HaPesach, there are those animals that give birth earlier, namely before Pesach. Viesh Behemos Shemachros Ad Bein Pesach Latzeres, there are those that are later, that give birth between Pesach and Atzeres Shavuos. Viesh She'enon Yoldos Ad Bein Atzeres L'chag, and there are those that give birth only after Sukkot, after Shavuos, before Sukkot. So you have three time periods during which animals are born. U'kenegdom tiknu chachomim zmanim elu, and in honor of those three time periods of birth, they established these rabbinic times. Charfi befros apesach, afli befros atzeres, kaiti befros hachag. Rashi goes on with a slightly different girsa on that. That hold that kaiti is befros atzeres and afli is befros hachag, but we don't have to emphasize that alternative girsa right now. So the Gemara's first question was, what's the significance of having three grunos? So the Gemara answered, it's in honor of three time periods during which animals are born. The Gemara goes on, Umay shno bahani zimni. What's the significance of these dates that the Mishnah enumerated? Omar Rabbi Tanchum braid Rabbi Chia ish kfar akoy, kedei shetehe behemo mitsuyo le'oile regolim. You'll notice that these three time periods that were cited in the Mishnah, of course we have slight variations between each one of the shitas that we had numbered with Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3, but the dates that are given for the grunos are dates that are pretty close to the respective three regalim, to each one of the three regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So that these particular dates ensure that animals will be available for those going to Yerushalayim during the holiday pilgrimage, the Aliyas HaRegel. How are we ensuring anything? So we mentioned before that people should l'chatchila not shecht nor sell their animals until they tie them. And if people are holding off on it till these time periods, which will ensure them a supply of animals during the Aliyas HaRegel. If we look in the Rashi at the top, Kedei Shetei Beimim Tzulei L'Regolim, Dekevon Di'ein Goren Maiser Beimim Ad Proiser Regolim, since the Goren, the time period for tithing, is close to the holidays, U'mashin Shibemton Ad Oisoi Zman, people will delay their animals, they'll delay slaughtering the recent births until that time. The lo lishchatinu ad shi'asram bizmanagorim, they won't slaughter the new births until the goren time. Shu somoch l'regel, which is near the holiday. Venimsa shiu behemos mitzuyos l'regolim, this will ensure that animals will be available for the people traveling to Yerushalayim. Likach men, to purchase from them. Bein lachilo, bein l'korbonos, whether it be for their own eating purposes or for bringing the holiday korbonos. The Avogav Disnan, the Rashi here continues with what the Gemara continues. So let's do that on the top line. The Avogav Disnan, even though the Mishnah said Ad Shelo Higia Goren Mutar Limkor V'Lishchot, even though a person before the date of the Goren comes, you're allowed to sell and to slaughter. So in theory, after any given Goren, any births that take place, you can use them all up. And when the Goren time comes, there are no animals around. Even though that's true, nevertheless, Nicho Lei Le'inish Delis Avid Mitzvah B'Momone, people would prefer to wait to hold off on the eating until a mitzvah is done with their animals, namely the mitzvah of tithing them. And then v'hodar lizvan v'lechol, and only after that will they sell and eat their animals. So with this plan in mind, so we've established these dates as the time for the tithing, so that people will hold off on slaughtering their animals until those dates. And that will ensure them there'll be a large supply of animals, relatively speaking, large supply of animals close to the holiday that comes up right after these time periods. So since people won't slaughter and eat their animals, the newborn animals, until those time periods, so as we said, there'll be an ample supply of animals for the Oilei Regolim. V'amai kori le goren, why is this term used, which is a grain-related term, why is it used in the context of Meiser Behema? Answer, de tovlo kegoren mi de rabonon. Tevel is a reference to grains or to food, fruits and vegetables that have not been tithed. So that here we're saying that, we explained this earlier, that if these time periods, these Goren dates arrive, and he hasn't yet tithed his animals, after the Goren date, he's not allowed, rabbinically, he's not allowed to eat from his animals. He can't slaughter any of those recent births until he goes ahead and tithes. In that sense, they're like fruits and vegetables that one is not allowed to eat until one tithes them. V'kamo pras, the Mishnah used this term, you saw the Tanakama use this term, Tanakama being Rabbi Akiva, pras ha-pesach, pras ha-seres. What is this word pras? How much time is pras? Piresh Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, ein pras pochus mites vov yoim. Pras is something not less than 15 days. So Pras HaPesach would mean 15 days before Pesach. My mashma, how does Pras mean 15? Omar Rabbi Avo, Pros equals Palga. Pros means half. Palga demai, half of what? Now, whatever we're going to say, we're trying to figure out that 15 is the half of something. So it's half of what? Answer, Palga de Hilchas Pesach. It's half of the time period dedicated for discussing and learning about the laws of Pesach. So that would come out that the laws of Pesach are studied for 30 days before Pesach. Kiha desanya, as is taught in the following Tanaic source, Sholim v'dorshim b'chutz Pesach, Kodem Pesach, Shloshim Yom, that we engage in the study and discourse of the laws of Pesach for a period of 30 days. 30 days before Pesach. Rav Shimon Amliel Omer, Shtei Shabbosos. Rav Shimon Amliel has a different opinion, and he says 2 weeks. There's an interesting comment that you find in the Rashi Ksav Yad. That's the Rashi you find on the lower part of the page. Rashi, and there's an abbreviated Chof Tof Yud Ksav Yad. This is a Rashi taken from a manuscript. He comments there. You'll see before the wide lines in that commentary. Sholem Bilchus Pesach Kodem Pesach for 30 days. We said Vahenu Nami Luchsa Pesach. The issue of Meiser Behemah is also related to Hilchas Pesach, the Ma'asrin LaBehemos, we tithe the animals, the Lischazi LaMecha Baregel, so that we have animals available for the holiday itself. So we have now explained the meaning of the word Pras, meaning half of the equaling 15 days, which is half the time that's dedicated for the discussion of Hilchas Pesach. So 15 days before Pesach is the Goren that Rabbi Akiva made reference to in the Mishnah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.